get ready to laugh out loud with Wise and Nerdy, the show hosted by two hilarious dads.
Get ready to laugh out loud with Wise and Nerdy, the show hosted by two hilarious dads who bring their unique blend of wit, wisdom, and nerdiness to the airwaves. From sharing hilarious anecdotes about their own experiences to giving advice on navigating the ups and downs of life, these two dads have got you covered.
They're also obsessed with all things nerdy.
They're also obsessed with all things nerdy, from comic books and sci-fi movies to video and board games.
So whether you're a fellow dad,
a pop culture fanatic, or just in need of a good laugh, this is Wise and Nerdy.
And join in the fun.
Now let's have some fun.
Oh, yeah, baby. It's baby's kids in the house tonight. And that was great. I hit both buttons just to see what would happen. And anyway, that was a lot of fun. So, hey, this is your number one dadcast. I don't know what we are. Not what Wise. We're nerdy, and we've got this old man living up in the attic. That's the voice in our head. I and Charles Rock got a podcast. Don't. What voice? What voice?
They're holding me hostage. Let me out.
Oh, we didn't even get to talk pre-show about the fake commercials that you need to make for us. It's like, have you ever had to sit through an hour-long recording with two guys who just want to talk about themselves and name drop?
Oh, yeah, Daddy.
Yeah,
if
that's
so,
like
you probably need preparation age for your comfort.
I was going to be like, that's like driving a Ford F-150. You just can't wait to get out and get away. But yeah,
you're allergic to Ford F-150.
Stuck on the road. So I think we can spitball some fake commercial ideas, Kurt, and you can do those live. It'd be a lot of fun.
I think we probably can.
Preparation ace. Hey, but that's not what we call to talk about.
It's the question of the week.
All right, so this is the one I brought to the table. Just thinking about different things in life and where my kids are, just for reference. I've got set one and set two, and set one is 18 months apart, and it's 18 and 17 years old, and then set two are 18 months apart of each other, and it's about to be 12 and 10. And I had to sit down with my oldest son when he was young and address something that I saw in my own life about, hey, you're going to go through stuff as the firstborn kid, and I'm going to make mistakes with you. And as you see, I think it's when we're having the third kid or maybe even the fourth one, I was like, hey, and you're going to see me treat them differently. And it's not because you deserve different. It's because I learned from the mistakes that I made with you. So all that being, and he, I mean, it's not fair, but he kind of understood it. But I was like, so the question of the week is, what is something you wish you did differently with your kids? Yeah, at least make ticking noises. Let's not leave a freaking blank space in the podcast.
No. So I mean, Joe looked like he was going to say something, but yeah, you do have a lot of time still.
Yeah, I've still got a lot of time to screw up my kids. It's okay. But you have a good spread.
You got a 10-year-old and you got a
4-year-old.
4-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, so I've got three kids ranging from 4 to almost 11. And yeah, there's... I wish that I don't know how to phrase. I wish I talked more to them one-on-one, but I'm starting to, and we'll talk about this a little bit later. My wife and I are starting to facilitate time to do that. Cause we don't always take enough time to talk to them one-on-one personally and talk about their aspirations. Like every night at dinner, I talked to them about how their day went.
Yeah, you talked to your 4-year-old about, hey, how do you want to change the world with your life?
Hey, it's cute to hear those.
How are you
going to
solve poverty, son?
No, but just, you know, for instance, one of my sons, both my sons, they talk about how they want to be YouTubers when they grow up. That's their dream. I mean, a lot of kids say that these days, sure, right? And so I've told them many times, that's fine, pursue that dream, but you're probably going to have another full-time job in addition to that to pay the bills. And so if you want to do this, that's fine. Just expect it to be a lot of work. And then I went on to tell them there are skills that you can start developing now if that's what you want to do. You can start learning about audio editing and video editing and digital art creation for your thumbnails. You can also, you know, check and see what big YouTubers are actually doing and things like that. So there's some things that they could learn now. And so I do talk to them about stuff, but usually like at dinner time, it's just, hey, how did your day go? What did you learn from school today? There was a while there where every night I asked them, how did you fail today? Because I wanted them to get into the mindset that every day you're going to do something wrong, like more often than not. And that's okay. It's okay to fail as long as you recognize what happened and learn from it. And so for a while there, every night I was asking them, how did you fail today? And I said, and then we would talk about, like, how did that make you feel? What could you have done differently? And how can you improve it in the future? And so I wanted them to get into this mindset that I think a lot of people grow up with the taboo that if you fail, it's like horrible and shameful and things like that. And so I want my kids to understand it's okay to fail and it's okay to be bad at things. But if you want to be better at things, if you want to actually learn and grow, you have to put in work. Because I know my oldest, there's a lot of things that come really, really easy to him. And I can see in him, whenever there's something that doesn't go well, he doesn't want to do it, period, regardless of what it is. And so, like, he was that way with basketball. He was like, I want to be on a basketball team. And then he would practice with his brother and it didn't come naturally to him. And he's like, okay, I don't want to be on a basketball team anymore. Cause his little brother was on a basketball team for a season. And so, cause they've tried a bunch of different sports and we tell him, look, you can try whatever sport you want, but you have to stick through it for the season. After that, you can choose whether you want to keep trying or not, but I want you to stick with it for a season. And so I want them to know that it's okay to not be good at everything and to understand that if they want to be good at it, they're going to have to try. They're going to have to work hard.
Bad so. Daddy. They gotta be good at everything, baby.
So to that point though, I think that's not a terrible thing to talk about. But one of the things I might, and again, I don't know, I'm not part of your conversation, right? So you may already do this, but one of the things that I would do is, and frankly, I do this with people that work for me. And that is, you make a mistake. You weren't good at this thing, whatever it is. Cool. Now let's take a step back. What in particular were you bad at? Were you bad at dribbling the ball or were you bad at shooting? And if so, the way I try to spin that is that's awesome because now you have a specific area that you can concentrate on. If you want to be better at this thing, you have an area to concentrate on because you've identified an area where that needs improvement. And if we talk less about the failure and more about the areas of improvement, that might be a more motivating factor to say, oh yeah, you know what? If I do work on that a little bit, then maybe I can be better at that versus, no, I just suck at it. So there's that. I mean, but I think that talking about failure, I mean, talk to Warren Buffett about how much he failed. He failed all over the place. And only by failure did he succeed because that was an area that he figured out how to improve upon. So he didn't fail again. Mistakes are great. Repeated mistakes are not, you know, and repeated mistakes happen because we don't learn. So.
Yeah. I can't remember the quote. Like if you're never failing, you're not trying or something like that. I can't remember who said
something
it.
Something like that. Yeah. I don't remember it either, but I do remember something like that.
But yeah, no, I definitely talk to my kids about how they can improve and do better and things like that. But I'm trying to erase the stigmatism around the word failure.
Fair enough.
and for them to understand failure is not the end of the road. Failure is the beginning of a road if you want to improve.
Yeah. Do you talk about your own failures?
Yes. Yeah.
And do you talk about what happened after you failed?
Sometimes.
No, because that's the important part, right? Is like what happens after you fail.
Sometimes.
And it's like, well, no, because that's the in the corner for a couple of months. Eh, not the most helpful thing. but you know, it's yeah, I think because that's I agree with you. I think there's a stigmatism with how failure is perceived versus being a huge opportunity.
Yep.
So
I relate to the whole everything comes easy. I had that in my life. My oldest son had it too, and when we got him into basketball. I mean, they were so little, like everybody sucked, right? But his team was better than everybody else's. And they just sucked less, I guess. And they were winning. And we're like, hey, man, you're not going to win everything. You got to be prepared. We just wanted to really get ready to be for failure. Didn't happen. Didn't happen for like the next 3 years of him playing basketball. But here's where I'm at now. This is what kind of generated the question for me. And actually, before I get to that, Kurt, you know, you have completed the fatherhood process of screwing up your kids. Now you're on to screwing up your grandkids. So, you know, what would you have done differently with your kids?
So, there is no completion. Just want to say that there is no completion of the job.
You can always mess them up even more.
So, but the one thing that stuck out to me is that I spent a lot of time trying to make sure that they were good people, which may sound kind of trite and simplistic, but it absolutely was not. And I spent a lot of time, with making sure that I was able to discipline them without them feeling abused or punished per se. But the one place that I believe that I failed is reinforcing a better work ethic. And by that, for me, and that was all based on schoolwork. Because that was their job as kids. As kids, your job is school. At least your go away from home job is school. And what I didn't do enough of, and I could blame it on a bunch of different things, but it doesn't matter, right? Because it is what it is.
Yeah.
But what I think I could have done a better job of is show me what you're working on, and how are you doing in this? Where are you struggling? And then saying things to them like, you know, I really am proud of you for how hard you work on these things and the kind of effort that you put in. And so even if you get a bad grade, I know that you worked really hard. So that'd be great. And I'm good with that.
And what can we work on differently?
Right, right. Yeah. And I didn't do a great job of that because I was more concentrating on them as people. I'm happy with where they're at and with the kind of people they grew up into. Very happy with that. They were not problem children by any stretch. Like literally they weren't the type of kids that I would have to argue with them to get stuff done. They had a healthy respect for us as parents. And so if I said, hey, I need you to do this, they would just do it.
I have some of that. It's funny. hey, we just got a daddy drop in where we got, offering a promotion to your channel viewers, all that. Cool, man. Yeah. How about you go back and reference the last 15 shows we've done, then maybe we'll talk to you. I focus on making my kids smart. And I've taught them, like, I've really focused on the things that were lacking in my life, which is how to handle your strength. Because I think to an extent, we're all who we are when we're born. And I know, at least in my story, I was a little rock god running around. And if you can imagine an 8-year-old with that kind of energy and mindset and always questioning the world and always basically calling BS on BS and inside of a Baptist church, you know, it was a handful. And my parents never really, not never, but they tried to squash it. My mom, you know, used the terms like gentle giant and, you know, this and that, and the other. And like, what really, so I took a different aspect and told my kids, like, you're going to be gods among men. And what I mean by that, and you're starting, they saw it different parts of their lives. Like, you're going to be naturally good at stuff. We teach you to see the world differently and you accept that. And so you're going to instantly rise above people. And they just couldn't comprehend that till they went to public school. And then they're like, holy crap. I don't mean the education level, which was also bad. It's like this kid's in eighth grade and can't read, but also just the dumb things that come out of people's mouths and teachers. I could get into a whole story, which I won't, but I can get into a whole story about how my fifth grader had to teach my fifth grader how to school his teacher and when, and he did. And because she was a moron. But work ethic. I thought, you know, okay, I take them with me to my jobs. I've taken all my kids to different jobs that I've done. My first two actually learned how to put up sound and lights and do a little bit of hosting and being in front of people to the point that on a certain gig, I had an adult help me. I said, no, get out of the way. I had my 12 and 11-year-old go and wire the lights up because they knew what they were doing. It's like, no, just get out of their way. They're going to handle it. And gave them skills, right? So I thought they'd see that kind of work ethic. And then we get to high school. And my oldest son is in wrestling, and he can walk in, and instantly he's in the middle of the pack, if not top middle. And I'm like, okay, you can be the best at this. And you get mad when you lose, which isn't often, but you get mad and you throw your helmet, which I'm not going to allow. That anger crap ain't going to fly. You got to turn that into exercise and build, and what can I do better next time? And he wouldn't. He just wouldn't do it. And to the other day, this is the literal thing that brought up this. What I wish I'd done, and hey, Mr. Tambourine, we're talking, what is something you wish you did differently with your kids, you know, at any age? And Joe, you know, set off.
Yeah, like teach them not to give people Bidoofs.
Yeah, you know, that'd been, we all wish you had done that differently, Mr. Tambourine. I wish something different about me is I wish I could be that Paul Rudd kind of dad. Oh, buddy, you know, it's all right. Pick your chin up, buddy. It's all good. You know, and when you watch Paul Rudd, I mean, to me, he's just that epitome of the actor that is that energy of he's not a wimp. He's not a wuss, but he is there. It's all right, kid. You tried hard. I'm going to help you out. Hey, Kurt, you were saying that. And that is something I learned psychologically in the last 6 months of the kids. There's a scientific study of two groups of kids, and the kids that were told you can achieve anything, you can do this and you're smart, and they were smart, their grades suffered. But the kids, you said, great effort, put in the work, just keep trying. Like you were saying there, Kurt, their grades went up, and it's about that focus, because that's something you can do versus be. And right. I understand the difference now. I understand how the two work together in my life, but I cannot. I am working so hard to figure this out with my last three kids, because my oldest dropped out of high school, and I could not bribe, threaten, or anything to get him to finish the last MF in 3 months. 2.5 months is all he had to be a freaking graduate. And we had multiple talks about it. And the other three, I flat out said, ain't going to happen to you. I'm sorry, but that's the line. You will finish school, end of story. And I got much harder on them. But how do you reframe, right? I watched my son do baseball the other day. He's the middle kid. And nobody's great on the team. Right. But there's basics that he's not listening to. Like, he's not. And it irritates me. And actually, no, it makes me mad. Because he is spatially aware on video games, when we're doing stuff around the house, and other situations. Yet, he's the catcher, because he catches the best out of everybody. And he actually probably does. And he's still not super great. Everybody misses balls. But instead of throwing the ball like he's supposed to, like, there's only a runner on second. Ain't nobody coming home. Instead of throwing a third like his good coaches are telling him, he's running to home to protect it. And there's one time when, you know, on third strike, right, if you drop the ball, they got to run. Well, he didn't drop the ball. I mean, he dropped it a little bit, but he tagged the guy, whatever. But first base bolted. bolted, and everybody's screaming at him, throw it to first. And he was just like, and I got so angry. I said something you shouldn't say in front of kids and other parents at him. And my wife got mad at me. And it's like, it's called reframing, Kurt. How do you reframe that? There's nothing good about that game. I was like, you just don't try. And after my wife stopped signing them up for stuff, my children will not give a crap and will not try. And I'm so furious about it. I don't know how to motivate them and retrain them or reframe the ideas of, hey, you did great here. You know, instead of being down on yourself for not doing X, Y, Z, here's where you were good. And this is where you can put in more effort on that game. Like, you're not putting in effort. And I didn't want to, so I didn't even talk to him about it, because I'm not just going to punch him. I was like, all you got to do is get out of the freaking backyard and throw the freaking ball. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, just from your words, and again, I'm not part of the conversation, right? So I don't know the actual things, but just from the words that you're saying, you're framing things based on what they've done and what they do. And so I wonder if you were to go to one of them and say, hey, clearly, you know, you're, for whatever reason, the coaching isn't sinking in with you and whatnot. Why do you think that is? And let them give you an answer, because once they give you an answer, that's an in for the conversation, right? Because they could just say, man, I just hate it when Mr. Thomas talks to me, because it just drives me up a wall, because he treats us like babies.
And so what's the natural response to that? Stop.
Well,
being
so,
a baby.
But, well, no, because, you know, then honestly, what I might say is something to the effect of, yeah, I don't like it when people do that to me either. So what I try to do is I try to make them show that I'm different from everybody else. Or I try to show them that I'm different from everybody else. And so maybe that is like, if he thinks I'm acting like a baby, I act more adult. I take more responsibility. Yeah. Or, you know, whatever, however that gets framed and whatnot. But make them part of that solution versus the, you need to try harder. Okay, good. Oh, another adult's just telling me that I suck.
Right. Right.
You know, and again, I know that's not what you mean and that's not what you're saying, but I think that sometimes we internalize that kind of thing, because, and honestly, adults hate that shit too. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
They hate that.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry. I apologize. But adults hate that too, right? Adults hate being talked to like that. And adults would rather have a conversation like, you know, we didn't do great here. And so how can we improve the next time?
And I am definitely better at adults. I don't know. It's a tough one. It's something we're probably talking about really over multiple episodes.
Well, and it's your own kids. So you have a different relationship than me. It's easy for me to sit back here and say this kind of thing because I'm a third party, right? And so I have a different perspective because I'm not intimately involved. But
you have been with your own family.
Yes. And I've had to learn the hard way at times. You know, like my son, and part of the reason why I came up with what I came up with what would I do differently, is my son wasn't a great student. And so I ended up taking away things that he really enjoyed as a punishment because he wasn't doing the other stuff. And I would have done that a little differently in hindsight.
I get that. So, you know, yeah, there's definitely just multiple times I wish I hadn't made such a big deal about something, but also a little bit of me is terrified that if I just, hey, it's a good try, kid, then that's what they always believe. And I'm telling you, you've met my kids. You've met me. I mean, we all work on the same level. There is no, hey, you did a good try. We are here to change the world. And if you don't, you're going to change it by sitting there and let it pass you by. And it's not a good thing. I don't know. What you got, Joe?
Yeah, I think the extremes aren't the only things.
I was just going to say that regardless of how good or bad of a parent you are, at some point your kids need to realize that they're in command of their own life. And so it, like, you can be the best parent ever, and if your kid doesn't want to listen or anything, like, there's no amount of persuading sometimes that's gonna fix that problem. And even if you're the worst parent ever, sometimes your kid's just gonna turn out to be amazing. And so you got to remember, these aren't just little pieces of clay that we can sculpt. These are living, breathing kids with aspirations, and they are gonna do whatever they're gonna do. That doesn't mean you should go out of your way to be a horrible parent, but
there's something to be said about that,
it's
right?
It's still on them.
Michael Jackson, one of the greatest artists of all time. Dad was the worst dad in the world. Tiger Woods. I gotta think about that sometimes. Like, my kids have a love for them. Like, Ryland is really getting into baseball because he hated the first year because he had horrible coaches and horrible teammates, and it was not a good experience. And so we thought, hey, it's done. And he wanted to go back for more. And this year is a better experience, just all the way around. Good coaches, good kids. But I think, like, but man, if I was a little bit more like Tiger Woods' kid, I mean, dad, a world champion baseball player right here in the making.
Yeah, but Michael Jackson and Tiger Woods had plenty of their own problems as well.
But
I mean, we could talk about this for hours, so I think it's about time for...
It's the question.
Nope, wrong button.
Roll that dice.
Time for the question.
Push all the buttons.
Roll time for the question of the week.
Flip that coin.
That's you, Joe.
Super duck.
Super duck. All right. Roll that dice.
Good Lord, Mr. Tamarine. I don't even know. Seriously.
It's your favorite.
How did it come up that freaking fast?
Because it's your favorite. It's okay.
It wouldn't be wise and nerdy without it.
We'll pull a joke.
It would, Kurt. Yes, it would. There's two things I regret podcasting. One is giving away one of my favorite segments of all time and sharing what you love before you get out of the show. And I love that the people have it and they're using it great, but that was something that I really loved that I created. The second one is, hey, Joe, I think we should share bad dad jokes in the show because there's a lot of them. I hate them, but people like them. I totally regret bringing that segment up.
Well, I mean, we are talking about changing our segments, but I think we need to keep this one. Anyway, this one is coming to us from Ryland, of course. I'm reading a book about anti-gravity. No. It's impossible to put down.
No, just no. I saw that one. Tastes like sheets.
Tastes like sheets. Oh.
That could be the hot dogs or ghosts, either way.
Oh, hold on. Breaking news.
Yeah.
Oh.
Humpty Dumpty had a great fall.
Oh, no.
Summer wasn't too bad either.
Oh, my God. Roll the dice.
Roll that dice.
Oh, hey, it's bad dad joke again. Let me roll that again for you.
What are you nerding out about now?
Oh, all right. We jump right to there. Now, this time, I would like Kurt to lead off here. And you had, because Kurt, you're on a big weight loss journey. You've been on a big weight loss journey. You're doing 75 hard again? Is that what I saw?
Yeah, I am.
I didn't realize that you fell and hit your head on this weight loss journey.
Yeah. I'm a little bit of a psycho when it comes to this. So 75 hard gives me structure that apparently I do well with. So I'm doing that again. But the thing that I'm nerding out about right now is that during this segment of my weight loss and fitness journey, I started going to the gym and strength training. And I have never actually been a weightlifter in any capacity. And so I've got a coach and I'm learning how to properly lift weights. And so what I've been nerding out about and watching a lot of videos on and whatnot is proper form for maximum effectiveness in the gym. So if you're doing a bench press and you need to maximize the time that you're doing that bench press. Just how do you lay down on the bench and where your hands go and how far up should you extend and how far down should you bring it down and all of that.
And form makes a huge difference, not just on building muscle, but also on preventing joint wear.
Right.
Form is very important.
Yep. And so while I'm not lifting a lot of heavy weights right now, I'm more concentrating on my form and making sure that that is working right and working proper and whatnot. So I take videos, send them to my coach, and he critiques my form and says, you can do this a little bit better. Make sure you're engaging the lats when you're doing a lat pull down and just everything.
In the name, Kurt. I could have given you that coaching. Hey, engage those lats and a lat pull down.
Yep. So, and for somebody who doesn't know anything about anything, saying, hey, do this pull down, which is just a pull down motion with a bar. What are you supposed to do? Not just pull it down. You got to like engage the back, pull it, pull
engage
it.
Engage the lats. It's a lat pull down.
Yeah, except that it's not obvious. And the form does not make it obvious until you do it.
You know, so to that point, I do this, man. It irritates me. I pay for something that I know is going to help me out. And then I use it a very little bit and I don't really maximize using it. And in this case, it's Supernatural on VR, which is an exercise program. It's a very, very good one. I'd heard so many good things about it and seen so many good things about it. And then they dropped it to $100 a year. And I mean, it's really beautiful. If you have a VR headset, it's amazing. And they're teaching, there's a couple different, there's meditation, which I actually enjoy. There's the bats, I think Beat Saber, there's bats and stuff. And then there's boxing. And there's one other, I forget what it is, but the boxing one, they're like, here's how you stand right, and here's how you got to turn your hips. And I find myself so often not turning. And I started a slow impact because I really want to learn it. And I know what you're talking about with the form. It's like, it's so frustrating to me that it's coming. It's not so fast. I can't do it because I'm keeping up and I'm doing it because I have this very gaming mentality. It's like, I can't lose the game. So stop putting points on the board. That's all. But I mean, that's a motivator for most people, but I can punch. I can do all this stuff. I could swap the stances and do everything they want me to do and duck down and dodge and weave. And I was worried about my knee joints and stuff. And it's great, but I'm not turning my hips like I'm supposed to. And that bothers me. And then I got discouraged because I hit the roof in a hotel room because I'm so big and can't do the big arm swings. And I was tired and I haven't picked it up since, but I really got to get back into it. So I want to piggyback off of Joe. You'll say something here. I'm going to throw this question out. Joe, you can say your thing and then we'll go back to Kurt. But how do you motivate yourself after you've been disappointed along those lines to engage? Like you said, you got a coach. I'm sure that's not free. And the money alone is not enough for me to go, I better get my monies out of it. What are you going to say, Joe?
I was just going to say that you said it was Supernatural VR. So is it just teaching you how to fight demons better?
Oh, I wish. That's what I thought it was at first. Like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go demon hunting with Sam and Dean. And then I found out it's an exercise program. I'm like, oh, okay.
He signed up for Supernatural VR and he got a very different experience.
Yeah, he really was.
So in terms of staying motivated, one of the things that is interesting is that even though people do this and it's kind of a normal thing, like I log everything. Like I log number of reps, weights, sets, all of that. And so I actually gamify the weightlifting process. And the way that I do that is that was my high score last week. Let's see if we can beat the high score. And so as long as my weights go up or as long as I do better than last week, then that's a win for me. And I have my... I have an app that I use to track all my workouts. So I program my workout in before I even, like I'm going to the gym after this podcast tonight. So I have my checklist. I have my checklist of all the exercises I need to do, the number of sets, number of reps for each one, and what the previous weight that I left on was. So I'll start there, and I just work my way up and go through my checklist. And once the checklist is done, the game is done. And
once you build that habit, is there.
Right. Right.
Good job.
Well, clearly somebody needs to invent some more VR stuff where it is very nerdy. I mean, could you imagine doing VR and you're Mario and you have to actually literally jump on the Goombas and stuff like that? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Got to stab them demons with Dean and
you are dead on, dude. I would run around with the Scooby Gang. Ooh, jinkies, you know, all that jazz. It would be so much more fun. It's just, but would I do it? I'd like to think so. But I'm telling you, I love the supernatural. In fact, I got pissed off at something somebody said to me one night. It was just very rare, but somebody says it just got to me. And I went in and I'm trying to do the boxing and do my workout because I'm doing it for me and I'm feeling good about it. And I kept thinking back on what they said. And I was like, first I said, F you, dude, in my head. And then I was like, focus. And then I said, F you to me. Because like, why are you letting this twerp get you down and kick you away from what you're trying to do? And I focused back on what I was doing. But then, like I said, I got home and I've had time. I'm not taking the time. And that's what's frustrating to me. But I'll get there. It will be okay. I got plenty of space in my studio for sure to do it. But Joe, you are nerding out about a game I've played off and on. And I thought it was kind of interesting. It still not quite does it for me, but Minecraft Dungeons.
Yeah. So this past weekend, me and my 8-year-old got Minecraft Dungeons at the mall. And I had always seen clips of it and I was like, I'd rather just play Minecraft. But it's actually a lot more fun than I thought it would be. It's more of a dungeon crawling game. Yeah. Like Gauntlet. And it's fun. My kids are having a blast with it. They really enjoy the customizations that they can do to their character because there's a ton of customizations in it that aren't in normal Minecraft. I'm surprised and not surprised at the same time that Mojang hasn't taken some of the elements from Minecraft Dungeons and brought it into Minecraft itself. Especially because I want to say, and I could be wrong on this, but I want to say that they actually announced that they are done with Minecraft Dungeons. They put out like 6 DLCs for it, and that they've officially said that they're done. I think.
Well, they came out with a different kind of Minecraft thing too. Also, since
Legends,
then. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Which apparently has not been received very well, from what I understand. I have not tried it though personally, so
I haven't either. But I did. Minecraft Dungeons has been free on Xbox Ultimate Game Pass for since it came out. And I think I actually rented it back when I was doing Gamefly. I think I actually rented it on the Switch first, and my wife and I tried it because we liked playing Gauntlet together back in the day, and it's decent enough. If you like Minecraft and you like dungeon crawlers, I think you'll love it because it's got a simplistic form of picking the weapons and the armor, and it just wasn't enough for her and I to go back to.
But see, it's perfect. The amount of strategy involved is perfect for me with my littles.
Yeah.
It's been a ton of fun, and my kids are loving it. So, and you can, I mean, there's the 6 DLCs, but you can just buy the ultimate edition that comes with the main game and all of the DLCs. So it's not, you don't have to buy each and every single one separately.
I honestly don't know if they're included in the Ultimate Game Pass, but they probably are.
Got into Minecraft or Minecraft Dungeons. I, for whatever reason, it was not in the same.
This is Joe and his littles.
Yeah.
It's Joe right there. Classic
littles.
For the podcast, you got to watch out. I pulled up the classic littles on the screen and shared it.
Yeah, for whatever reason, Minecraft was like in between for my kids. Like they weren't into it. Neither one of them were into it.
Well, it came out in 2009. So I can't remember how old your kids are, but they're adults now.
Yeah. So my daughter would have been 11 and my son would have been 16.
Yeah, it might kind of just miss that gap there. All four of mine have gone up and down in Minecraft. We've owned a couple different versions of it. And they'll do it for a while and then they'll kind of fall out of it and they'll do it again. And I mean, now my two little ones, they have it on their tablets and the old Xbox that I let them have. And actually, I think it's on the old PlayStation and old Xbox, but I don't think it cross platform, but the tablets will. And so many, many times, one of them will be on the Xbox playing, the other one will be on their tablet playing in the same world together. And it'll fall off and come back. I know a lot of people, even adults, still love that game. And I just didn't care. Yeah. It just wasn't my thing. But I didn't care that much about Legos either. It's cool. I followed the instructions, built it. That looks nice. I'm done. But something I am going to try to get my wife to play. She came in the other night. Diablo Floor, yep. More, where you get tiles and demons on sale for $4.99.
And the DLC that just came out was Berber Rugs.
I can't wait, though, Kurt. I can't wait till that 70s shag carpet demon comes to the game. I'm playing that one all day long. Diablo Floor. Thank you, Spoon Puncher. Jerry Spoon Puncher nailed it. The new Diablo Floor, the new DLC. Way to go, Jerry. Thank you very much. But the Diablo Four. I've never been a big Diablo fan. It's fine. Phil got me to play number 3 all the way through. We played it together on Two Drunks Game or whatever it was we were calling it at the time. And it's fun, but I mean, he had already played through it, so we skipped the story. I know nothing about it, and I didn't really get invested in the character. But I tell you, that smash and loot aspect of it, I just eat it up. I don't know what it is about it. And so I got the trial, the demo, because it said free play days. I was like, okay, I'll try it out on free play days on my Xbox. And it ended up being like a 10-hour demo. Dude, it's so good. I'm a snob about graphics and just the way you can see the armor change on the character, even though they're not tiny, but they're not huge either. And it's just, yeah, smash and loot. Charles's motto for life is about right. Yeah. Okay, Jerry may have nailed it. Progression systems are fun. Just being able to pick, the right armor versus, it's not just about the biggest number, it's about what you want to do with it. And Aaron came in, for those of you who don't know, Aaron's my wife. And like I said, back when we were first married, before we had kids, we were playing Gauntlet on the PlayStation together. And I mean, we're still today, sometimes, especially if I drink a Mountain Dew, sweet nutrients. Yeah, that kind of thing. So, and she'll laugh. So she actually said, hey, this kind of has a Gauntlet vibe. And so I think I'm going to get her to create a character and play. I don't know if we can do that on one system. I don't know how that'll work. So if I have to buy like two separate games, we'll get there. Because it's standard price for games. Actually, it was just on sale a little bit, but I'm going to wait till the holidays. But yeah, Diablo 4, which was enough for me to pick up Diablo Immortal on my phone for free. And that's a very light version. But it still does a little bit of progression. You don't get
still
the,
pretty good. Still yeah, pretty good.
Still pretty good. It's very on rails. Follow the footsteps. But and when you level up, you don't really get to pick your skills or anything, which I love a good skill tree. But like you said, Kurt, it still kind of feeds that itch of going through and smashing. Oh, I leveled up and it made this more powerful. Cool. I do like how the powers just work. I mean, I get why people were mad at it because it's not Diablo 4. And they're like, don't you have phones? You know, that classic line, whatever. Now, today, you guys are special. Because right now, instead of doing the show, I could be playing Dead Space Remastered because it dropped today on Ultimate. I'm telling you, that's the only horror survival game that I am just obsessed with. When it first came out, I played it. I mean, I've always had a studio since I've been married. I had my gaming rig here. My wife was behind me doing coupons and stuff. And I'm just jump scares. And because they don't do the standard jump scares. It's like a shadow moves and you whip around waiting for, ready for a demon to be on top of you. And it's not there. And they're not demons, but they kind of are. Well, here's what I love about Dead Space is you are not truly the hero. You're an engineer that was supposed to be helping salvage a ship, and now you just got to survive. And you have you start off with an engineer cutter, and you got to cut the limbs off of these monsters that are coming at you. And even when you get a machine gun, you're not like Rambo going through blowing away people. And actually, I probably use the machine gun less than any other weapon in the game. It's just, oh my God, you're a dude. And it really captured the breakdown of the mind throughout the whole thing. So I beat that one. As soon as 2 came out, I pre-ordered it. I got 2. I beat that one. And just the story is so good. Do I have it in my studio? It's probably packed in a box still. I have I compiled all these stupid points for GameStop back in the day and had to use them before my account expired or whatever. So ended up for free. You know, free because points are not really free. It's about as big as a Switch, a little bit smaller than a Switch. It's a replica of Isaac's laser torch cutter that lights up with blue lights and stuff. And 3, I started to play. So I haven't beat 3 yet, but then they remastered the first one and it looks so good with all the new HDR and it dropped for free today. So can we get done with the show and go on? That'd be awesome.
Well, if we need to get done, then I guess we better
roll that dice.
Oh, hey, while you do that, we've got some speak pipes to play because we did forget to do that after the question. So what's the segment after the speak pipes that we're going to?
The segment after the speak pipes is
time for a commercial break.
Oh, perfect. So we will do the speak pipes and then we'll get a commercial break. All right. I do have them loaded, and 2 of them are from Devo, and so I think we're going to start with those. I think that's these right here.
The Bobcat image made me think of a joke. I'm going to adjust it so it'd be appropriate for the subject matter. How does a bobcat like its food prepared? Rawr.
No!
I approve.
Such a bad dad joke. I think he labeled that one awesome dad joke. He was mistaken.
So, Kurt, your comment about get to it made me laugh because, yeah, I know it's kind of meandering me trying to bring up these stories, but I'm going to give huge, major props right now. I'm going to make it really extended to drive Kurt crazy. And that prop I'm going to give to Joe. For all the times that he had to put on the podcast by himself when Charles abandoned him. So here's to you, Joe.
Oh,
it's hard, isn't it? Talking by yourself to yourself about material extended with no feedback at all. I have 1 minute and 30 seconds for a speak pipe. I'm now at 55 seconds.
I'm so I can keep going on the rope. But
let me tell you another story.
Oh, that's so good.
It goes like this.
Oh my God.
Once upon a time, there was a podcaster named Kurt.
Hi, I'm Kurt.
And he was going mad.
Oh my God.
Insane.
I'm mad.
In the membrane. Insane in the brain.
Insane in the brain.
Yeah.
Okay, now the light's off. It's done. Oh my God, he drug that out so long. I'm not even mad that he threw me under the bus. You know, but
I was very close to saying the magic words.
That's the show, folks.
These magic words.
Those are exactly the words. Yep.
All right. So, Joe, the epitome of professional, recorded an amazing, super produced special segment with his wife.
Ooh. What's up, it's Mrs. Underscore. Mr. Underscore asked me to answer a question, and I believe that spouses should come before children depending on your time of life. Now let me explain that. When you have an infant in your home who cannot do anything for themselves, yes, of course, take care of your child. If there is something that your child simply cannot do, of course, take care of your child. However, as you get older and your children get older, it is easier to put your spouse first. But even in those younger years, you can still put your spouse first with the little things, like little acts of service that you know your spouse will be like, hey, my spouse did this for me. That makes me feel loved. Get to know your spouse's love language so that you can show them these little things, even if you are in the young parent stage. Always put your spouse first because they're going to be with you longer than your children. Okay, bye.
I have a question.
When your children get older, it's easier to put your spouse first. But even in those younger years, you can still put your spouse first with the little things.
I did it, I promise.
That you know your spouse will be like, hey, my spouse did this for me. That makes me feel loved. Get to know your spouse's love language so that you can show them these little things, even if you are in the
Joe. You did such a great job.
Always put your spouse first because they're going to be with you longer than your children. Okay, bye.
I still have a question.
You feel loved. Get to know your spouse's love
language. What's going on?
I don't know. The countdown was still going down. So, all right, Joe.
So my question is, why does Joe have his wife trapped in a peanut butter jar?
Two things for me. One,
I guess is she was hiding from the kids somewhere so that she could record it. So it's probably a small space.
So, really, all I really have to say is I had no idea how much you love Charlie Brown, that you grew up married to teacher, buddy. Well, good on you, Joe. Good on you. All right, Kurt. How do people, Kelsey, that was awesome. How do people reach us through the speak pipes?
What, no music? So if you want to reach us through the speak pipes, you can go to wiseandnerdy.com/calldad. That's Call Dad.
Donate to your dad. Patreon.com/wise.
Be sure to go to patreon.com/wise.
I just do it that way. Enjoy the music, people. Get absolutely good at patreon.com/wise_and_nerdy and support us, your favorite fathers, and be a part of our Discord and everything else. I would love to have you do that. And if you don't support us, I mean, you're just missing out on three awesome people who just changed your life. I mean, Jerry's right there with us. Jerry's like, yeah, Patreon. Right, Jerry? You'd say that. Trust me, he'd say it. He's quiet right now, but he'd say it.
Please go to our Patreon so that we can keep affording to pay for Tone Loke to be a host on the show.
All right, roll that dice. But as you roll the dice, too, I agree. I mean, Kelsey was talking about the little things, that acts of service and this and another, which is absolutely where I'd pick my wife over my kids. But yeah, that whole thing of side with them in the fight and then talk about it later. It's like, yeah, no, Joe.
Let daddy decide.
All right. And Jerry did say, I love Patreon. I'm saying that in my own will. Wink, wink. What's the angel thing you got to do to say you're in trouble? So let daddy decide is how do I now? We're going to change that up a little bit. So now you got to make your kids record new stuff. Meh. But we have refined a little bit of what we're thinking about with the show. So Kurt, this one's for Joe. How do I handle innocence versus societal meaning? And Joe, you've got an example of that, like the innocence of kids versus what the world knows or thinks what it means.
Yeah. So I play, like we were just talking about, I play Minecraft a lot with my kids. And in Minecraft, you can equip a cape. My kids, they just saw a super colorful cape and they equipped the... I'm not sure what they're calling it these days, but it's the pride flag with the transgender triangle on it. And so we were out and about somewhere and he saw that flag. And he was like, oh, hey, it's my Minecraft cape. And I had seen the cape that he was wearing and I knew he didn't understand the societal meaning behind it or anything like that. He just thought, oh, it's colorful. And so he was like, why is my cape up there? And so we just had a brief conversation. I've made no attempt to hide this. I am Christian. I am a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so we do view a lot of what that stands for as being sinful. Now, I want to say there are many great people that sin because everybody sins. It doesn't matter who you are. Everyone sins and everyone sins differently. And so I'm not saying that anything like that.
Kurt, that went crazy on your sound. Like when the airplane bombed your house, it blew up your sound.
You might want to check your connection again, your cord.
We're in the headphones. Right? I won't remember. I don't think it's me. Let me check. Go ahead.
Is my sound weird right now?
It is. You were picking a lot of background noise up from me. Well, we're not now. We were.
That's better. Sorry. So you.
And so, like, I just want to say there's a lot of amazing people. I don't care what you believe in, as long as you're a good person, whatnot. But we talked about how. Actually, what my wife referenced during it was Owl House. If you've never watched Owl House, there is a lesbian couple in Owl House. And so she said, you know, when this character and this character started dating, well, we kept it real simple, but we're like, that's part of what that flag means. And he was like, oh, okay. And so we kept it real simple. We didn't even talk about the gospel or anything like that. We didn't talk about religion. We just said,
why? I did an easy answer though. Why? Why didn't you berate him?
No, yeah, we're definitely not going to berate him. Cause it, like you said, it was childlike innocence. He didn't know. And I didn't tell him he had to take it off or anything like that. All he cares about is its cool colors. And so a symbol like that, is only meaning the only meaning it has is the meaning that it has to you, in my opinion. Well,
I get what you're saying.
There are some.
He just saw the colors and thought it was cool. Yes. Not this is a life decision by wearing this cape.
And so, but knowing what it means to society can be beneficial. I shouldn't say that that's the only thing that matters. I think that is the most important thing, but then you do need to understand what it means for society. But it's not like it was a Nazi flag or something like that. Not that Minecraft would put that in there. And so it's not like it signifies death and destruction and evil people and doing the worst things imaginable. The
most interesting thing too about the Nazi flag is actually based off of a Hindu sign for peace.
Yeah.
More or less, you know,
and it's just been, evil likes to take things that are benign and pervert them.
And there's some things, you know, you bring up the Nazi flag. There's some things I would teach my kids, like, hey, this is why we don't mess with that, you know, because no matter what we do, there's no real taking that one back because people are still taking it for hate. Same thing, my son, you guys know me. I would never call myself a manly man. Right. Like, I get my boys have to be boys and none of that stuff. Yeah. As my firstborn was growing up, and his cousin is 4 days younger than him. She was born 4 days after he was. So, you know, obviously grew up close. This and that, the other 4, 5, 6 years old. I think it was about 4 or 5 when they started. They're painting her nails. He wanted to get his nails painted. He liked these bright pink colors because they're bright and colorful. And I gave no craps. And his aunt. Oh, you gotta ask Charles. Oh, he's gonna be so mad. And even my brother-in-law, who we get along, but I would not say we were like the best of friends. And my wife was like, Charles is not gonna care. And they were right. I don't care. And it went on up to like first or second grade. And only at that point I said, look, we don't care. We know exactly why you're painting your nails. You like the, I mean, sometimes he did like camouflage colors. I mean, he did all kind of stuff. It's like, you just like it. It's colorful. It's cool looking. This and the other. Just know that there's a lot of other idiots out there who don't think that. And if they say something to you, don't sweat it, because they're effing morons. And left it at that. And, you know, it's because it's a thing. If your kid wants to dance to some song, it doesn't really matter if it's Two Live Crew, because they just hear the beat. They're dancing. They're not getting the message from it, right? Kurt, you looked a little bewildered.
Well, the exception to that is the chicken dance, obviously.
Yeah, banned that one everywhere.
So, I think, Joe, you probably have had the... You probably handled it right. I mean, really, because there's no reason we need to go into details with kids that young. Like, it's really just like the only time I think we have to worry about these societal things is kind of where Charles was going, which is like when they start having to deal with society, really, and that's usually school age. You know, you can say, hey, look, you want to wear that flag? Cool. You want to do this? Cool. Just understand that this means something else to other people, and people might not like you having that. It doesn't matter to us. If you want to wear it, wear it. Cool. But just understand why you might be getting comments from people, because they're going to be otherwise unprepared at all, right?
Yeah.
If they start getting made fun of and they have no idea where that's coming from, not sure that's totally fair. But as long as they understand that we support whatever we support, you know, and I'm not even making a judgment on what you support or what you don't support, but whatever, like, if you find that acceptable, then cool. If you don't find that acceptable, it's up to you to explain why. And so hitting your siblings, not acceptable. Wearing a rainbow flag. Sure. Well, but again, it depends on your values and your principles, right? For me, in my family, hitting the siblings, not acceptable.
So
not acceptable.
I thought my kids, violence is not the answer, but there are consequences. And when they were just bickering and this and that and the other, I was like, all right, I'm done. I did two things to my older two. One time I put them in, I got like one of my wife's shirts or my shirt, and I put them both in it. No, first I did this. First I said, all right, I'm done. Y'all want to fight? Y'all want to be nasty to each other? Nothing I'm saying is changing that. You just want to hate on shit? That's not cool. Punch them. Well, no, both of you stand here, put your fists up. And I mean, I got down, I got hard, punch him, punch her. And of course they wouldn't. And like, all right, then I'm done with you. And I went and got the shirt, and I put them both in the same shirt where they're squeezing. It's like, hey, now you're going to stay that way for a good 10 minutes. And they did, because I'm like, it's not about the violence. It's about the fight that you're doing is so much worse than if you just punch somebody. And you would find out real quick it hurts both sides when you punch somebody. But we never did the whole... We only punch each other when we're having fun. I wish I'd written it down. I invented this card game one night with the kids. We're just going around. It's like a extreme slapjack. And I don't remember what the rules were, but the number one rule was you can slap as hard on the arm, not the face, but on the arm, bare arm. You can slap as hard as you want, but you got to take it when it comes. And Crosby, I mean, she left a mark on me. She hit me so hard at like 6. I'm like, all right. I tried to match what she did. Yeah, I didn't want to go overboard. When is her turn? And she walked away for a minute, trying not to cry. And then she came back to the game. I'm like, all right, let's do this. You know, but yeah, we only fight when we're having fun. We don't punch each other in anger. Yeah. Jerry put this thing here. The thing I find with kids and exploring the world, your kid is going to be who they're going to be. And as a parent, I think you can choose whether they're going to represent themselves, represent you as a parent, or accept themselves for who they are. And the interesting thing is, though, they can't represent you as a parent.
He actually said resent.
Dang it.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Resent themselves
resent you as a resent parent you. Or accept themselves.
Oh, good point, Jerry. Also, way different. Represent. Well, but it's also a good point that you can't. That's it, though. You would resent your parents. You cannot represent their values. You have to have the why in your own life. There. And then he talked about my story. Or no, Joe, you talked about my story. My wife was spinning her nails. Joe, you read it because apparently I'm not reading anything correctly.
Yeah, so this actually happened just this past week, basically what you had said happened with your kids. My wife was painting her nails. My four-year-old looked and saw that she had red nail polish, and he was like, and that's his favorite color. So he's like, I want to paint my toenails red. And
valor
so
for life.
My wife texted me. She's like, is it okay if I paint his nails? I'm like, yeah, that's fine. So she painted his toenails, and he came down while I was working. He was just super excited to show me his painted toenails. And by the end of the day, he wanted it off. And so my wife took it off. But there's no harm in that,
right,
in my opinion.
They emulate what they like in you. I remember sitting out and smoking a cigar back when we lived in this no-car neighborhood, basically. We're at this cul-de-sac. It's hard to explain, but it was safe for the kids to be in the road, but not so safe to leave them there. So I'd come down in a camping chair and sit in the road so I could see cars coming and tell them to get out of the way. And they just run out and I'd smoke a cigar. And my kids would pick up sticks and act like me. And so I said, cool. You can do that for real when you're a dad like me and when you know what it does to you, you know, and that was that. And they never cared after that, but they want to emulate you. God, I mean, Kurt, what's something that your kids did like that, that were, that was a little offbeat from societal norms?
The only example I really have is my daughter, when she was a teenager, got a bunch of piercings in her ear, and she got the nose piercing as well. And I like a nose piercing in particular, like through the septum with the
yeah.
thing. I hate it. I hate it so much. Like it just, I don't think it's attractive in any way, shape or form. I think it's just, I don't get it. I don't like it. That being said, not my body. Right. So, so she would do that. And it took a bunch of willpower just to say, I'm not paying for it.
Yeah.
Right. So she paid for it on her own. And I said, okay. I said, and she did the same thing when she got a tattoo, you know, and I'm not, and we talked about tattoos before. I'm not a big fan. And I said, look, you know how I feel about the piercings and the tattoo, right? And she said, yep. I went, okay. That's kind of the extent of it. Cause what am I going to do? Like,
yeah,
right. Cause
it's his age, right?
Right. Right. And like, even when she was 16, 17 years old, if I go, take those piercings out right now. You'll not have those in my house. What is that going to solve?
Right? Yeah. But we do have my oldest daughter with the perfumes that it legit gives my wife headaches. It gives me, not as badly, but it gives me headaches. I hate perfumes, Axe body sprays, all that stuff. And it got to a point where she did the TV thing of when she was out and about, she would do it. And it's like, you cannot come home with that stuff. You just can't. You smell throughout the entire house. And she, every once in a while, she tries to play like, oh, I did. Like, no, you did. And then she got it. So then at some point when she got a car, one of her friends spilled a cheap bottle of perfume in the back seat. And I mean, for months, it didn't matter if it was raining or shadow, and the windows were down. And I was like, yeah, that's what you smell like when you come in the house wearing that crap. You know, it's not saying you shouldn't. I mean, I think you should have just wash your butt and you'd be all right. But, you know, the thing with the clothing, though, with her was there's a lot of clothing she wears that I don't like, but some of it's just style. You know, they will sometimes I'll listen to them and look, I know fashion, man. I know their style. I know how to put stuff together for them to make them look great. And they know I know that, but they want to rebel a little bit and do their own thing. And she kept like, why don't you like my clothes? I'm like, why should I? Who cares? I will tell you if it makes you look bad. I will tell you, like we have like, hey, no, those shorts are way too short for what you're about to go do. And you're going to, one, you're going to get attention you don't want. Two, you're going to get a different kind of attention you don't want, which is the teachers or adult leaders or whoever it is breathing down your neck, telling you you're wrong. And you don't want that attention either. She got to go change. But other than that, your style is whatever. Yeah, I do. I know fashion, Joe. I can make you look good too. I get you a jersey. All right. Jerry said, we split. And hey, I want everybody to come participate in the Wise and Nerdy experience, like Jerry is here and like Mr. Tambourine is. Participation is great. It just adds to the conversation and really widens that experience for all of us. So Jerry says here, we split a bottle of vodka in the back of a friend's car, and that smell put me off vodka for years. Same 18-year-old friend of mine when I was 21, I bought us all alcohol, and he wanted Captain Morgan Spice rum, and he drank the whole bottle himself, puked in my studio. I mean, it's an apartment about the size of the studio I'm sitting in now, and that's all I smelled was vomit and spiced rum for like 6 months. Won't do spiced rum ever again. Sorry. Joe, you know what to do.
Roll that dice.
I mean, at this point, I might as well just have Kurt do it live. You're so freaking slow.
Can you dig it?
Yes, we can. Kid, you get it wrong again. All right, we'll change this one up to what do you think about, and we're going to fill in the blank. And Joe, you change this one out, so why don't you ask it?
I sure did. So what do you think about parent kid dates? And so this past weekend, and I kind of have been hinting about it this kind of whole time, we reinstated parent kid dates with me and my wife. We decided to do that. Now that I'm making a little bit more money, we can afford to do these little dates with our kids a little bit more.
That's a true mindset of a one percenter, by the way, of, oh, no, I make six digits, but now that I make six digits a little bit more, I can now afford to do stuff with my kids. Cool on you, Joe.
I've never made six digits. So that would be nice.
That's also what a one percenter would say.
We rotate, what our plan is anyway, is to rotate every month which kid goes out and which parent goes out. So because we have a 3-2, two parents, three kids, eventually we'll just keep rotating through all of the kids. And so that'll give us some one-on-one time. And it will also, we're having our kids plan the date. We're giving them a budget. And the criteria is there will be a meal involved and there will be an activity that the two of us can do together involved. And we leave the rest of it up to them on what they want to do. And so that will teach them a little bit of how, a bit on dating skills for the future. I mean, they're not really ready for dating at this point, but it'll teach them that, and it'll give us time to spend time together one-on-one. And so this past weekend, I went out with my 8-year-old, and he decided that we were going to go to this little Italian mom-pa place. We got a pizza burger, and the best part about it is being able to spend time and talk to him one-on-one. And so we talked about, again, he wanted to be a YouTuber. That whole conversation I mentioned earlier, he wanted to be a YouTuber. So I talked about how he can learn all these different skills and whatnot and how to approach it realistically. Because I told him one of the YouTubers that he has watched, his name is Impulse SV. He's a Minecraft YouTuber. And Impulse, he only became a full-time YouTuber within the past couple of years, last two years. And before that, he was a full-time programmer. And so, but it took him, I want to say it was like 8 years of being on YouTube before he had sufficient following to make that his full-time job. And so I talked to my son about that. We talked about how things were going in school, and I made sure to use it as a positive reinforcement moment. So it wasn't a, hey, you're doing this wrong, you should be doing this or anything like that. I intentionally went out of my way to talk about some of the things that he's been doing lately that I deemed good. So like, for instance, they just got some results back from state testing, and my son did very well in math, and he did on several of the categories in language arts. He did very well as well. Like in those categories, he did exceptional. And so I pointed that out because he was feeling a little bit miffed because on a previous state standardized test, he didn't do so good. And so I wanted to point out specifically that he had done very well on this one that they had taken a month and a half ago. So after we ate, we went to the mall. Well, we did a couple other things, but we went to the mall. That's when we bought Minecraft Dungeons. That was his activity. He wanted to get Minecraft Dungeons and play that with me. And so we brought that home and we spent several hours playing it together, and it was a lot of fun. And nice. So he absolutely loved it. And my other two boys now, and we've done these in the past, so it's not a new concept to them. Just we changed some of the things around. But yeah, what do you guys think about that?
Oh, it's totally stupid. I would never do it. I just, Joe, Kurt, I just pictured Joe. He's like, you know, teaching them dates and that. So him and Kelsey are going to go through different bad date scenarios of just like, oh no, just been on your phone 1 minute. I'll be back to you. Texting, yo, Kelsey's texting you, Joe. Oh, I miss you so much. No, I'm on a date with you. Don't worry about it. Oh, baby, I'll be home later. Oh, no, kid, don't worry. Yeah. Bad date experiences. But my short answer, honestly, is I think it's very important. You know, I started instituting, all my kids basically drink coffee, except for Zoe I mean, she gets hot chocolate or whatever else, but they know how much I love coffee, and they know, you know, that one-on-one time is fun to go do this thing. And I used to do that a long time ago of like, hey, especially my older one, especially with Crosby, I was like, look, you're going to get to a point in life where I can foresee a future where I might only get to see you as you pass through town because of something you're doing. And I want it to be important to you to say, hey, let's go get coffee or a meal or something and sit down for 30 minutes and share our lives. And then we might have to move on, you know, that kind of thing. So I think it's very important. And we've done, back when we're broke, we set aside not a ton of money, $10-$15 twice a month, maybe, and use coupons. And we had a bucket of paper, and you'd go in there. A lot of it's free. Go to the library, go to the park, and the kids would pick out the bucket, and that's our family day. And the money would get us a little bit of food while we're out on our family day. So, yeah. What about you, Kurt?
Yeah, so I handled it a little bit differently. Like as far as one-on-one time, now granted, I've only got two kids. So having the one-on-one time with them individually, even within the house, was easier. It just is. But that being said, my daughter, her birthday landed on the weekend that I usually was away for a barbershop music convention every year.
Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha. And so what I started doing, once she got a little bit older, and I'm talking about like 10, somewhere in there. I used to say, okay, now I know that, I was away for your birthday day. And even though we did the cake and ice cream thing and whatnot, I'm going to take you out and we can do whatever you want all day long. You know, we'll just go do something for the day, just you and me. And so we did that for years, and it was primarily just her birthday thing. Sometimes we'd go, to a movie. Sometimes we'd go bowling sometimes, you know, and usually a meal in there as well. Just a kind of a special time between the two of us. I will confess that the kind of showing them how to date thing doesn't resonate with me at all.
Yeah. I don't give a crap about their spouses. I just want to talk for myself.
yeah. It just, that's why not at all. But I will say that the way that we always framed it was, it's going to be daddy daughter day, you know, and that's all. It's just, it's a day that we get to do whatever you want to do.
And I do like the aspect that you're letting them plan it, though. That does teach them how to do events and stuff in the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And,
yeah, and we're trying to tell them, I know that you want to pick stuff that you want to do, but you also need to remember that the person you're with needs to have fun as well.
Yeah. Again, because it was different, it was a different reason for doing it for me. It was important that we just got to do whatever she wanted to do.
Sure.
And I've had those times with my son as well. And we usually like go to a movie or something and just hang.
Oh yeah.
A big part of any of those days though, was talking about what's going on that you don't normally tell us about during dinner and what, like my daughter had a problem with, some boyfriends when she was in high school and nothing more than normal teenage drama. I mean, really it was nothing like that, but she would come home crying and for whatever reason, I'm the one that she went to. And so she would go, he just broke up with me and he's saying these things. And I said, okay, honey, this is what you need to understand. Boys are stupid. How do I know? 'Cause I was a boy and I was stupid. And so just through those kind of interactions though, they learn they can trust you. Even with the bad stuff. And so I think however you get your one-on-one time, that's valuable. That's valuable. And so however that works out. But I think that, that's as important as family time is. Like we would always like, not always, but we would have for years, Sunday was our movie day as a family. And we love Disney. So we went through the entire Disney catalog and just say, okay, so this week we're watching Hercules and next week we're watching, Emperor's New Groove. And the week after that, watching Lady and the Tramp, whatever it was. But we went through the entire thing and we would do the whole, like we'd get popcorn, we'd get ready to sit down, we'd go through that. And then usually after the movie, we would play, a Disney trivia game. Just something, just to have family time, like a set aside important family time, which is what dinner really was as well for us. And Joe, it sounds like you have that as well. You have dinner, right?
Yeah. We have dinner as a family every night.
That is and that's okay, Charles, everybody's different, but for like, I will tell you for my family, that was so important. And the reason I didn't even know it was important until I had to move to California for a job and we had to pull the kids out of school and move them to California. Like it was a whole cross country move. And I said to the kid, we sat the kids down at dinner and I said, all right, so here's what's going on. I've been out of work for a little while. I have a job opportunity in California. We have to take this, which means I'm going to need to pull you guys out of school. You'll need to transfer to a new school and make new friends. So that's really cool. And they were like, and I said, do you have any questions? And my daughter said, can we still have dinner together?
Nice.
That was her most important thing. And I said, of course. Yes, that won't change. I said, the only reason that's going to change in the immediate future is because I have to go out there 4 months before you guys.
Ooh, that's a big long time.
Yeah. It was tough. It was tough. And it was tough all around. It sucked. I had to rent a shitty, damn it. Sorry.
Correct that one right up. There,
yeah. Kurt. Yep. But I had to rent a lousy studio apartment while still paying the mortgage on my house back home.
Yeah.
But inflatable mattress, just like no furniture because I just needed a place to live before they came out. So, but the family time again, very important. Very important. And Charles, you have your family time. It's just in a different form. That's all.
We're just, and when we all do come together at a table, it's special moment. It's like everybody puts their devices down and interacts more. We all realize, hey, all six of us are at a table, and that's not a adventure out somewhere that we were, you're trying foods or whatever, but just at home on the table. Mr. Tambourine says here, I like to take each of my boys on a separate weekend trip. With my elder son, it was usually a music type of trip, like visiting famous studios or points of interest. With Badoof of a kid, we would do the Pokemon thing, but now that is evolving. It's good to connect with them one-on-one with no distractions. I'll even add, you're talking about experiences. You didn't just do the Pokemon thing with your son. You brought him to us in Atlanta and let him have a whole different experience of what we bring as a podcast and recognition. And I think that's an important thing and a cool thing for them to see you in different lights.
Yeah, there. You heard it here first. It's very important for your kids to meet us.
That's it.
That's exactly that's it. Exactly what Charles
that's
said.
That's exactly it. So we're down to the story time. And I want to ask Rip Van Daddy over there, what's a watch along?
What's a watch along?
Tell me a story about a watch along.
I don't know if this is what you think it is, but a watch along is often when you're here on Twitch or you're in the Discord and we all watch a video together and make snarky comments in chat, unless we want to have live audio, which never works out.
What did you think I thought it would be?
I have no idea.
Because that was a very not well-hidden thing to say. We forgot to talk about our watch party coming up at the end of November. And we've been talking about this forever. We're going to watch Mask of the Phantasm, right? It's on HBO Max right now. And we kind of want to do it like a book club kind of thing. So we're actually going to have a watch party on November 21st, right before Thanksgiving. And still working on the, I guess it'll be on Discord, Joe. I mean, I really don't know how the best way to do it is without
Discord.
Yeah. So
Discord's going to be the best way. Yeah.
And I'm sure we can probably show the video and so like everybody can go and watch it. And then, yeah, do the snarky comments in the chat. We'll do the Mask of the Phantasm, which is the Batman, the animated series movie that they did. And I've actually never watched it. I've watched the entirety of the series, but I've never seen this movie. So we're going to do that on the 21st. We'll watch it. Then on the 30th, which is the last show that we record live in November, which will air first week of December for the podcast, we'll talk about it. So if you only listen to the podcast, you actually have a little bit more time to watch it. But we'd love for you to come out on the 30th and talk to us about your experiences and your take on it. And if it held up from what is 20 years old now, something like that?
At least. Might be closer to 30.
Joe is Googling it.
Yeah, I know. So,
and I don't believe
this one. I didn't think it was that old.
I don't believe this one. Often, Joe writes, I often sleep better on an air mattress than I do on a normal bed.
Whatever. Oh, in fact, it's actually exactly 30 years.
30. It is.
Okay. 30 years. There you go. You forget about the things that you grow up with. And I don't know about you guys, but I've never bought into the, oh my God, I feel so old right now, because that show when I was a teenager, I think I was a mid to late teenager when Batman Animated Series came out, is in the movie that is now 30 years old. But you know, that's something different I'm going to do with my kids. I'm going to make them feel old when they're 8 years old. That's it. That's the show, everybody. Thanks for listening. Good night. Come experience this every week.
Follow these nerdy dads on social media. Charles at Rock God of Podcasting. Joe at Joseph_Ard. Check out the website, wiseandnerdy.com. And as always, they may not be your father, but they'll always be your daddy.
Oh, yeah. Rule by Kurt.
That's right. Do it again. And check out This Week in MCU.
F.E.O. by Kurt.
Go home, folks.